listening to the Forza Podcast with your host, Marsh.
What up, what up, what up, Canes fans? It is the Forza Podcast, and it is Monday, August 24th, and we are 17 days away from kickoff. As always, I am joined by my wonderful producer and co-host, Jordan Nelson. Jordan, football's in the air. We're getting closer, baby.
It is in the air, man. I can smell it.
I don't know if that sounds creepy or not. That time of year.
I know, man. There's a certain fall smell that happens in Salt Lake right at the end. I don't know if it happens elsewhere. It probably does. But right at the end of summer when fall's around the corner, and dude, that just, like, my brain is hardwired to think football when I smell that. And so,
I'm here in South Florida, they're getting excited, man. I'm getting questions all the time about the Canes, and there's someone actually who stopped me in Publix the other day. He said, "Hey, Marsh." I'm like, "Hello." And he was just like, "Hey, how are the Canes going to do?" I'm like, we're hopeful. And then he says, "All right, bye."
Did he tell you that your arms look way bigger in person?
Then, dude, I have that vacation bod now, okay, where, you know, my body just looks like I drank 15 Diet Cokes in one day and ate about 50 Jolly Ranchers. So I don't know if – I think my arms are lacking a little bit right now, but it's been good to be down here, and it's fun being on the Zoom calls with the coaches and the players. So and we just had our second scrimmage this past week, and so – we got a ton of things to talk about, but first, you know, first things first, I don't know how much you have read into what happened at the second scrimmage, but what were some of the takeaways that you had just, you know, base surface?
Well, dude, I mean, the biggest thing that popped was Tyler Van Dyke's stat line, because that looks like something that you do in NCAA 14. I mean, like, what was it, 5 completions for 200 yards or something? Yeah.
So I'm reading it right now. He was 5 for 6, 205 yards, 1 touchdown, and 1 interception.
So he was averaging 50 yards a completion.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm no math guy, but that's what it seems to be. That is insane. And I've seen the video of him throwing an interception. It was to Brian Ballum, I think, who had the interception. And it really wasn't Van Dyke's fault. And so – he really could have been 6 for 6 for like 230 or something like that. But I know that Tyler Van Dyke struggled a little bit in the first scrimmage, which is expected. It was his first college scrimmage, but it definitely looks like he is putting the pressure for him to be the second string quarterback.
Yeah. So there's a few things that jumped out. So one is I can't remember where I saw this. So take this with a grain of salt, because it's info from Twitter that I can't remember the source. I saw someone say on Twitter that they watched Tyler Van Dyke and Xavier Restrepo running sprints against each other in the sand volleyball courts at UM like all summer, and they said that they personally witnessed Tyler Van Dyke beating him at least once.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't see that.
Yeah, so I can't remember where that's from. If you hear this and you're like, "Hey, that was me," then, you know, quote tweet it or whatever. But take it with a grain of salt, because I just saw it on Twitter. I'm not gonna stand by that. And, you know.
So yeah, that is great. So the other quarterback, a guy named Derek King, he played very well. Again, 95 yards through the air, 2 touchdown passes. So Derek King now has 6 touchdown passes and 0 interceptions through the first 2 scrimmages. Jalen Knighton had a good game again, 12 carries, 43 yards, a touchdown. Don Chaney, 8 carries, 48 yards and a touchdown. Cam Harris, who was not there the first scrimmage, was back on Saturday, and he ran the ball for 77 yards on 13 carries. He had 1 rushing touchdown. He also had 2 receptions for – he had 5 receptions and 2 receiving touchdowns. So how are you feeling about our running backs right now? Holy cow.
Yeah, I feel fan-friggin-tastic about our running backs right now, man. I mean, we expected big things from Jalen Knighton as a true freshman. I think we both kind of expected Don Chaney to have a slower approach, but it kind of seems like they're both full speed ahead, ready to contribute at a high level. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of funny. I mean, I love Knighton's skill set. I thought it would translate immediately, especially in a Rhett Lashley offense. But we need to remember that Don Chaney was like, as a consensus, a higher rated player.
Yeah absolutely.
So like we shouldn't be writing him off. I think it was probably the injury that he had in spring. We were all saying, okay, maybe they'll slow play him. You know, we got Robert Burns. You know, Knighton fills that utility role that we needed anyways. But dude, I don't know what the deal with Robert Burns is. I don't even know if he's still on the roster or not, because we haven't heard anything about him. But it sounds like the three running backs that we're hearing about, all of them are ready to play.
Yeah.
And well.
And they're like, yeah, exactly. And they're playing well. And so Jalen Ian has over 160 yards rushing in his first two games. And so moving on to the receivers, it was the true freshmen that were making the, you know, that were making the plays. I know that we've all been asking a lot about Mark Pope and things like that. So Xavier Restrepo, our guy X, I know he had a big first scrimmage with a 70-yard reverse on a touchdown. He had another really big scrimmage on Saturday, 5 catches, 79 yards, and 1 touchdown. And then our boy from California, Keyshawn Smith, had a reception, yep, or three receptions, 53 yards, and 1 touchdown.
Yeah.
So I mean, the freshmen are really, really, you know, putting in the work and making plays. And where are the older guys? I'm sure that they got, you know, had some catches, but I'm just looking at some of the stats that I was given, you know, talking to people at Miami, and I don't see anything for D. Wiggins or anything like that. So, and through the first two scrimmages, Restrepo leads the receivers with 7 receptions, 133 receiving yards, and he has scored 2 total touchdowns. So, yeah. Receivers.
Yeah, I was going to stop you right there, and I mean, you pointed it out, but we've talked about 3 positions so far, and, you know, aside from Derek King, you know, we've talked about it being true freshmen that were popping at each position that we've talked about. That is huge, man. Like, that makes me so excited. And, you know, I said it on Twitter yesterday, I believe, when I said, you know, because someone, I think it was like No Limits 26, who I interact with all the time, seems like a good dude. He said, I'm drawing a blank now. So he said, like, you know, it's amazing that it's Restrepo and it's Knighton and, you know, these guys that are being difference makers. And I quote tweeted it and said, you know, if anything can bring the U back, and I'm making air quotes right there, because whatever that means, it will be the attitude that our true freshman class has right now. Because these guys are just killing it, man. Actually, that might have been the tweet that was talking about Restrepo and Tyler Van Dyke. I can't remember.
I mean, you just gotta love what these guys are doing, and how much does it say to some of the older players? I mean,
dude.
And I think years past, maybe seniority would have given some other players, you know, a nod when it comes to playing time, but that's definitely not the case right now.
Yeah. Well, I could channel our friend Better Duck and be like, you guys don't get the benefit of seniority because you lost to FIU last year. So if you're getting worked by true freshmen, then get the F out. You know, like let's let the talent play.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then the tight ends, Brevin Jordan was back, thankfully. He had 4 catches. Larry Hodge, I'm not sure how many receptions he had, but he had 45 receiving yards and 1 touchdown. So tight ends look to be good. Offensive line, I've heard good things. And then on the defense, Jalen Phillips had a sack. Quincy Roche, it was his first scrimmage, and apparently he was everywhere. He had 4 tackles, 1 tackle for loss. Jafari Harvey had 6 tackles. Avery Huff with 5 tackles, 2 for loss, and 2 sacks. Corey Flagg had a fumble recovery. Ta'Cory Couch had an interception. And then freshman safety Brian Ballum with 7 tackles. He led the team. He had an interception and a forced fumble. So 3 turnovers for the defense. How are you feeling about the defense? I know that a lot of people were worried about them in the first scrimmage because the offense seemed to go up and down the field. But how are you feeling now since they, you know, played a little bit better?
I'm very excited. I'm much more hopeful, I should say. I'm excited to hear some of the names that you just read. Because, I mean, if you think about it, there's a lot of open playing time in our secondary and in our linebacking core. I think these scrimmages are much more important to playing time than people think. I mean, we've kind of penciled in Avery Huff and Zach McLeod at linebacker, and we've penciled in, you know, the guys who are going to get a lot of time. I certainly think Gervin Hall and Bubba Bolden will be starters, but there's a lot of playing time behind those guys. And then at corner, you know, the spots are wide open. So it makes me really happy to hear that Brian Ballum is popping. You know, I mean, people are going on and on about how well he played. Hearing that Bradley Jennings and Corey Flagg have been playing so well, that's fantastic for our linebacking core. That is really, I mean, when all is said and done, it could be deep. But we have basically no experience outside of Zach McLeod at linebacker. Mm-hmm. So it's a wide open competition. And I mean, who's to say that Zach McLeod is even the best linebacker we have? We just don't know. So yeah. Like these scrimmages are so important at the linebacker and safety position.
Yeah, definitely. And just echoing off of what you said, definitely hearing the things about Bradley Jennings Jr. is a plus just because he has, you know, battled with injuries and things like that. And it's great to see guys like Avery Huff and Sam Brooks, you know, they are playing very, very well to begin. And then, you know, Corey Flagg, that he had a sack in the first scrimmage, and then this past, you know, one, he had a forced fumble. So definitely looks like the linebacker core is you know, coming together, and, you know, hopefully it steps up a lot more. As far as the safeties go, outside of Bubba and Gervin, and especially now with Avante, he's not going to be playing this year. I think Brian Ballum could see some significant playing time. That's going to be a position that we're going to have to watch. And Ja'Cory Couch is going to have to play a big role in cornerback. I know he is thought of as the best cover corner on this roster. And so this is going to be a very, very big week for the Canes as far as fall camp goes, just because, we're getting into it. I know a lot of people don't realize how close we are to football season, but dude, 2 weeks from Thursday, we kick off.
Yeah. It's exciting. I was thinking about that today. You know, I'm very much a guy who, I mean, most people probably do this, where I split things into segments. And so I've just been thinking, like, if I can just get to Thursday, we're 2 weeks away, you know? And then if I could just get to next Thursday, then it's game week, you know?
Yeah. And I'll be in Utah for the first game. So we'll definitely have to do something like live reaction or something. Yeah. But some other notes, Hard Rock Stadium announced today that for them and the Dolphins, 20,000 or 20% capacity will be allowed in the stadium. 13,000 fans, that equals out to 13,000 fans at the stadium. So, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm gonna get a lot of hate for this, but I have a question for you, Marsh, and it's an over and under. I'm gonna set the over and under at 2.5, and I'm going to say, which are you taking for games that we do not sell out?
I want to hear your answer first, honestly.
I need you to say it first, because I'm already going to get a lot of hate for that.
I may say under, man.
You're going to say, I can see that. I will probably go with the under as well. I hope that people respond to, like, you know, we have a special roster this year, you know, special circumstances, so let's fill up the stadium every game. I'm worried that it could go the opposite, and that, I mean, we've played regular season games with less than 13,000 fans before. So it's not like it would be new.
Yeah, I just don't know, like, how they're going to do it. You know, when it comes to season ticket holders or, you know, for parents or recruits. So, and I've gotten a lot of questions about that, you know, just today. Unless I am there for the media, I don't think I'll be attending any games this year. Just yeah. Because, you know, I'm not a season ticket holder. I'm not a huge, I mean, I'm 25, so I'm not, you know, contributing or donating thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars to the program each year. But I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know how they're going to pick, you know, which 13,000 people are attending. So yeah. I don't know. I just don't know. And it's kind of crazy. I know Louisville announced today that they will be allowing 30% capacity at their games. And of course we played there week two. Some interesting notes over the weekend. I saw that FSU will be allowing tailgating. If you saw that.
Cool. Well, good for them.
Yeah. Good. They got their, they have some problems right now.
Well, like, I know you. So I saw you tweeted about something right before we went live. Is that something you want to share on air, or do we talk after?
I don't know, like, the whole story. It's just been I've just seen it all across social media today. But apparently one of their – I'm pulling it up right now. So their former running back, Kalon LeBourne, he got kicked off the team. He's just taken a shot at Coach Norvell and said – so this is from his Instagram page. He said – he lied on my name, and I guess he's talking about Coach Norvell. He said he lied on my name saying it was a team violation, quote unquote, when in reality it wasn't. It was just for him to know and no strikes or anything to be accounted for. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a football season for FSU because I wasn't the only one who violated, quote unquote, team rules. If that's the case, this is wrong, and I'm really within my boundaries as a student athlete to be able to be a part of the FSU football program. Something fishy going, and I'm not stopping till I'm heard.
Jeez. You know, I have to say, going into this whole thing, you can probably find this tweet. So if you guys bring it up, like, I'm going to acknowledge that I was wrong. But I was a big Memphis fan last year. Memphis is kind of one of my adopted teams because I love their uniforms. You know, and they always seem to be on TV when I'm watching and you know, at 1 p.m. here in Utah on Saturdays. Like, Memphis is always on, so I'm always watching. And I love their uniforms, fast-paced offense, whatever. I said, like, man, I kind of wish we were getting Mike Norvell. But holy crap, I am so wrong. You know, because this has been an unmitigated disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Just at all levels. And you know, like, I talked about this a few weeks ago, maybe months ago, on the Sports Centric pod with our guy West Coast Zoe. You know, whether, like, it seems like there's some serious misunderstandings and differences, you know, like, who knows? Who's to say, you know, what Norvell is thinking, you know, whether he actually is trying to undermine these kids, or, you know, if there's just some misunderstandings from a cultural perspective or what's going on. But clearly it's not working, and it doesn't, like, intentions don't really matter if it's not working.
Yeah,
you know, perception, like, is reality for these kids.
Exactly. And I mean, this is a program that has just had so many problems the last few years, you know, with its players and coaches, things like that. And so obviously, as a Miami fan, you know, we have our preconceived notions about Florida State, or, you know, we just don't like them. But I think on another hand, you don't want, I mean, I've talked about this on social media. I don't want Florida State to be that program that is just, that falls off the face of the earth, because I think it is great for college football. I think it's great for our recruiting, yeah, everything like that, when Miami and Florida State are at the top of their game. And obviously Miami is trending in the right direction, at least in this offseason. But yeah, Florida State, I mean, because, I mean, you go back a few months ago when Marvin Wilson called out Mike Norvell for lying, and things like that. It's just it's they're off to a rough start there in Tallahassee.
I agree. I like Florida State to be competitive just because of the rivalry. The Gators, on the other hand, the Gators are a team that I actively cheer for to be horrible. So I wish the Seminoles and the Gators were, you know, I wish they could flip spots right now.
Yeah.
I do not feel bad at all when Florida wins four games. I could not care less.
Yeah.
I actually hope they just cancel their program.
I mean, okay, so now that you bring it up, so I don't know if you saw, like, I think it was last week where this idiot Florida fan was just going after me. I don't know what, like, these peasants just get into my mentions all day. And for some reason, Florida puts on, like, the act that they are some national champion powerhouse that's contending for titles every single season. I, like, one, they haven't – it's been 11 years or it'll be 12 years this year since they won a conference championship and 12 years since they won a national championship. So I don't – like, I don't know what they – I mean, they still think that it's still 08 and Tebow's running around. Like, 3 years ago, they were 4-7. Like, what – who is Florida? They're not doing anything. They barely – if it wasn't for Bubba Baxter missing a field goal and Jeff Thomas dropping a touchdown, they lose – to a horrible Miami team last year. Like, I don't know who the hell they think they are.
Yeah.
Sorry, well, I just
– No, you're totally right, though, because, like, they accuse us of living in the past. But the last time they won their conference championship, it was close – like, that was closer in time to our last national championship than it is to modern day. Like, that's how far away the last time they did anything was. Was that, you know what I mean? It's closer in time to 2001 than it is to 2020. So, I mean, yeah. I don't know where they're coming from. They're just,
I don't even, like, I mean, it's like
in the water up there, man.
And they say that, oh, the SEC means more. I'm like, you know what? It means more if you're Alabama or if you're LSU or even Georgia. But yeah,
even Auburn.
If you're not beating those teams, what is the SEC doing for you? Like, that's saying the ACC means more because Clemson is who they are.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. I mean, it's kind of funny. I think the ACC struggles to have as much depth as the SEC, but, I mean, if you look at past success, it's really been the second best conference by quite a good margin in the last 20 years. It really has been.
They upset me. Pet. Okay. So one or a few more things. I asked some people if they wanted to ask some questions. Just a mailbag one. So this is from Gino, our guy Gino. Love you, buddy.
What's up, Gino?
He said, with the extra year of eligibility that the players with the extra year of eligibility that the players will earn after this year, possibly deter from any current commit we have if that player returns due to it clogging up the depth chart for someone who was hoping for early playing time?
My knee-jerk reaction is no. Maybe Thad Franklin. I think he would be my most likely candidate. But, I mean, if you think about it, our other biggest names, I mean, Bubba Bolden could be gone anyways because he could be NFL bound. Gervin Hall, we'll see. But I don't – that shouldn't scare James Williams.
No, absolutely not.
For our defensive tackles, for Leonard Taylor and Savion Collins – I don't think they have anything to be afraid of, man. I think Leonard Taylor, I mean, you could make the argument that he'd be a rotation guy, if not a starter on this team right now. Because our tackles, I mean, we're solid, but we're not great at tackles.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. So, I kind of have the same answer to your answer to Gino's question. But going to the – switching gears to the Leonard Taylor thing, someone asked me like 2 weeks ago when I was doing the mailbag, who is one 2021 player that you think could start right away? And I said Leonard Taylor. And I'm not – this isn't me projecting that or predicting that he is going to start. I think that of all the players and looking at our positions, things like that, I think Leonard Taylor could start because we'll have Nesta, and I think Nesta is going to have a big year this year. But besides that, they're good. Like, John Ford's a solid player. Who knows if he will return. I could see him coming back for another year.
Yeah.
I think Leonard Taylor's skill set will 100% put him in a situation where he could definitely getting solid playing time. And yes. Who knows if he could start. I think he – like, that's the kind of player and recruit he is. I mean, we heard Coach Manasco on the show a few weeks ago. The way that he was talking about Leonard Taylor is – I mean, how could you not maybe even consider or, you know, just think about him coming in as a true freshman and starting?
Yeah, I 100% agree with you, man.
Okay. I'm seeing if there was another question. Do you see Keyshawn, and this is from Fredo Danitana. He asked, do you see Keyshawn Smith getting more playing time than Mark Pope? I saw this question and immediately thought of you.
Well, I don't want it to sound like it's turning into a shtick, you know, where I'm like a Skip Bayless thing where like this is my thing is that I don't like Mark Pope. You know?
Yeah.
But here I will answer the question with a question. Have we heard Mark Pope's name at all yet?
No.
Have we heard Keyshawn Smith's name? Have we seen a highlight video that was published of him?
Yes.
So that is all I will say. Like, I think where there's smoke, there's fire. And I will stand by the fact that Mark Pope is supremely talented physically.
Did you know he was a five-star?
Wait, what? Just kidding. Are you serious?
Whenever his name gets brought up, I have to ask that. I feel like it's a running joke.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I don't want this to sound like it's a shtick, because it's not a shtick. It's just, you know, everyone keeps wondering about Mark Pope, and I don't think anything's changed. I mean, you know, we're hearing Keyshawn Smith's name a lot, and we're not hearing Mark Pope's. So
I will say that there was one highlight last night, and I think it was Pope who caught a pass from De'Aaron King. But other than that, like, I'm not going to say that Keyshawn Smith is going to get more playing time than Mark Pope, especially early on.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, the main receivers are going to be Pope, Wiggins, Harley, Peyton. But Smith, I mean, we've been saying for a while now that he and Restrepo could get significant playing time as true freshmen. And so, you know, as the season progresses, who's to say that Mark Pope won't, you know, find his groove? But who's to say he doesn't? And Keyshawn Smith goes off.
Like, here's a hot take for you.
This goes back to what we were talking about. Like, just because, you know, you're the older player doesn't mean that, like, the best player is going to play. So.
Yeah. I do have a hot take for you, though, in that regard.
Love it. I love it.
Restrepo will start. He, like, the UAB game, Restrepo will go into that game ahead of Mark Pope on the depth chart.
Whoa.
Why not? I mean, Restrepo's our leading receiver from two scrimmages. Why would he not? I think, you know, the way that I project our receivers is that we'll probably run Peyton and Wiggins on the outside and Harley at slot. I think that's what I would guess our starters will be. But say we decide that one of Wiggins or Peyton is a little behind schedule, then I think we move Harley to the outside and we put Restrepo in slot to start.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you because what do I have to say? If Restrepo is playing well and Pope isn't playing as well, here's the thing. Pope is going to get playing time no matter what. Yeah. But the true freshmen, because they're going to get playing time too, just because, like we've talked about, you know, Likens and Lashley, they like to do 5 to 6 wide receivers, you know, rotating. if a true freshman is making plays that, you know, the highly touted junior isn't, I want to see the guy that's making plays.
Yeah.
I agree, and I think anyone else would agree.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. I really hope that Pope can just figure this out, man. But it's not even his fault that he's getting hate. I realize this. I was talking on the radio with Derek Coe a few days ago, and I had the epiphany that, like, this isn't Mark Pope's fault that people are bashing him, which is sad. It's the fact that people keep how many questions do we get about Mark Pope?
Yeah.
You know, so we get questions about Mark Pope.
We have to be honest.
Our job is to produce content, right? That's mine and your job right now, is to produce content about the Miami Hurricanes team. And everyone is asking about Mark Pope, and we are sitting back and saying nothing has visibly changed from the last 2 years to now. Yeah. So why would our expectations change right now?
Exactly. And we're not saying that we don't want him to do well. Of course we want him to do well.
Of course, like, not, dude. I would love, like, if Mark Pope is our number one receiver, I will sing his praises from on high. And I will say, like, I was wrong. You know, he proved me wrong. Like, I was a doubter, you know, whatever. Like, that's not my position here. My position is that people ask me, they say, what do you think about Mark Pope? And I say, well, absolutely nothing has changed in 2 years. And so if you're expecting more than that, it's unfounded.
Yeah. Yeah. So it always brings up a response, because I will agree. I don't think we have gotten, like, I think we've gotten more questions about Mark Pope than any other player.
Correct. We have. We definitely have.
Yeah. And so
possibly even more than De'Aaron King. I honestly think we might have gotten more Mark Pope questions than De'Aaron King.
Yeah, 100%. And so to answer the guy's question, starting off, no. I think Mark Pope will get more playing time than Keyshawn Smith, but I think that could be subject to change.
I agree with you. I think when all is said and done, I think we'll be a lot more excited about Keyshawn Smith than Mark Pope going into next season.
I like that. Okay, so let's just run through these last ones. Okay, so next question is from Pope Kane. He says, two scrimmages in, how are you guys feeling about our linebackers now? And will X, a.k.a. Xavier Restrepo, have a better career at Miami than Braxton Berrios?
Ooh, interesting.
Okay, answering the first question first, I feel a lot better about our linebackers. I know that, you know, it was a hot topic in this offseason, just because Quarterman and Pinckney aren't there, and there's just a lot of question marks at linebacker. But I do feel a lot better about our linebackers now, especially that Bradley Jennings Jr. stepping up, and that Avery Huff and Sam Brooks are playing very well, and Corey Flagg, true freshman, playing very well. So to answer it very quickly, I am feeling a lot better, and I think that there's going to be a lot more depth and rotation play at this position than we thought.
I agree, and I think we're seeing a rotation forming before our eyes, because that's what the word was, that there was no experience outside of Zach McLeod, who, in my opinion, was questionable anyways in terms of what his impact will be, because he was our third best linebacker last year. So I think we're seeing this rotation emerge with McLeod and with Jennings and with Huff and with and then we've heard Wayman Steed's name a few times as well. I'm feeling a lot more confident just knowing that these guys can play. You know, knowing that Bradley Jennings can play, knowing that Avery Huff can play, knowing that Corey Flagg can play, and that they're making moves in a scrimmage against, you know, the ones on occasion. Like, yeah, I feel a lot better about it. I still don't feel great, but, you know, it feels nice to see a rotation taking place.
Definitely. Definitely. So now, yeah, you got to answer the Braxton Berrios question.
Ooh, do you want me to go first, or do you want to go first?
You can go first.
Okay. yes. I'm going to say yes. I expect Xavier Restrepo to have a better career than Braxton Berrios.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. That's fine. I feel like he's lighting this whole place on fire, you know, as a true freshman. Like, he's leading our receivers. He's going to be unstoppable in this type of, like, fast-paced offense. Him running underneath routes and quick outs and slants and stuff, you're not going to be able to stop it. He's going to put up the equivalent of Wes Welker numbers in this offense, especially as he gets older.
I'm gonna agree with you, man. I think I don't think he'll ever, you know, go above Braxton in terms of, you know, my favorite Canes ever. But I think especially since Restrepo is getting, you know, in the offense and everything early, because if you think about it, Braxton didn't really emerge as a true threat as a wide receiver until his senior season. Yeah. I think Restrepo is going to, you know, be that kind of guy much earlier in his career. And so stats wise, yeah, I think he'll end up having a better career than Braxton Berrios. And it may, that doesn't make me sad, I promise. But I think that the fact that we're, you know, people are even comparing him to Braxton Berrios is a great sign. And so. Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I thought about when you read that question was we had Roman Cain on a little while ago, the offensive guru, and he said, do not be surprised when you see Rhett Lashley use short passes as an extension of the run game. He said, you know, swing passes to the backs, slants over the middle, quick outs, bubbles. He says those are going to be extensions of the Rhett Lashley run game, the run attack. Out of all of our receivers, Marsh, who is the most fit to benefit from that?
I think there's multiple answers, honestly. I think Restrepo is one that clearly fits that bill, though.
Absolutely.
And I think I think all, you know, guys like Mike Harley too, because of bigger possession, you know, receivers that are going to run those 8-yard button hooks and, you know, you give them the ball. You know, these are the kind of receivers where you get them into open space and let them be athletes. And so, no, that's a great point by Roe. And that's why I just love this offense so much, because finally we have an offense that fits the skill set of our wide receivers and our athletes. I mean,
It really would not surprise me that as you see Restrepo develop and get older, so we're talking the third and fourth years of his career here, it would not surprise me if you could just like mark it down before the game that he goes for 8 receptions, 76 yards, and a touchdown. Like I feel like when that happens, it'll be like, oh, Restrepo had a classic Restrepo game. You know, and it was that he had 8 receptions for 76 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's because we're playing the dink and dunk game, and you know, it's guys like him and Jalen Knighton that are racking up receiving yards and receptions because of it.
It's just great to see. I mean, because there was so much hype around guys, especially Restrepo, because everyone just loves him because he embodies what a Cane is. And it's just awesome to see them on Green Tree and making plays. Like, we don't have to, you know, go back to their high school film. We can, you know, mention what they're doing against, you know, even though it's just scrimmages. But I think that a lot of it is going to carry on into, you know, the regular season, especially guys like Jalen Knighton, Xavier Restrepo, and hopefully some other guys step up as well, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good stuff, man. Good stuff. I think that that's about it. Other ones, there were other ones, but we've answered them in depth several times. But
I have a question for you if you want to talk about it. I mean, we're only at 40 minutes, so we can push this out a little more if you're okay with that.
Yeah.
So I think we should talk about some of the guys that stand to benefit the most from this rule change. The extra eligibility. Let's go over some of the guys that we could see return that might not have.
I think, you know, for a guy like Derek King, I think that depends on what kind of season he has. Uh-huh. Let's say that if he goes out, throws for 35 touchdowns, rushes for another 10, just balls out. What's the benefit of returning for another season when in reality you can come back and win games, but as far as your draft prospect, I think it only has a chance to go down in that aspect.
Yeah. What if he does that and he goes to the NFL, like, you know, he gets his scouting report and they say, you are not an NFL quarterback, but you could go sixth round as a slot receiver.
I think we had Ryan Roberts on last week and, you know, he is not sold on Derek King as a NFL quarterback. And
yeah,
sometimes I think it's going to be very hard for Derek King to shake that notion, and towards the eyes of NFL draft people. So I don't know what has to happen for that, notion to be changed about it.
But what I'm saying though is, you know, is he has a great year as quarterback and then they say, hey, you're not going to play QB at the next level. But we'd love you as a slot receiver or as a running back, you know, as an offensive weapon, like an Alvin Kamara type guy, or Antoine Randall type thing. If you're Derek King, do you say, well, I know my future, so I might as well go back and play another year of quarterback at Miami?
Hmm.
Does that make it more interesting for you?
Yeah, it does. It does. What are your thoughts on it? I'm trying to round up a good answer.
That scenario ultimately depends on him and his personality, you know, because finances could come into play there. And it really depends on how passionate he is at playing the position of quarterback. I mean, he acknowledged that rule change on Twitter. So I think there's definitely going to be some deliberation for Derek King this season, on whether he wants to keep playing quarterback or if he's ready to just move on and do whatever he needs to do to have an NFL career. But in my mind, him acknowledging it opens the door for the possibility that he could say, you know what, if I have to play slot receiver, that's fine. I'll do it next year because I'm going to play another year of quarterback at Miami.
Yeah, could definitely see that happening. I mean, if we had Derek King for one more season, ugh. Like, as a fan, I mean, that's my more selfish reaction, and I think that's how all Canes fans are. But I think I'm not counting on Derek King coming back for an extra year. Yeah. And I don't think Quincy Roche will either, because I think Quincy Roche is going to have a really big season and he's going to be projected as a first or second round guy.
Agreed.
But then there's guys like a John Ford or a Jared Williams or even a Mike Harley who coming into this season, you know, they're not high on, you know, people's draft radars, but you give them one more season with this kind of offense and this kind of system, who's to say that Harley can't, you know, move into that conversation? Who's to say Jared Williams can't move into that conversation? But, you know, Jared, I know that this is also, I think, his sixth year in college. So, you know, a lot of draft people aren't going to be looking at a guy very highly if he played 7 years of college.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I mean, are there any guys? So you just named a few who are candidates. I certainly agree with Mike Harley as a potential candidate. John Ford was a good one. Jared Williams will be interesting to see. I think he would probably only come back if he gets a grade of not being drafted.
Yeah.
But what are some younger guys that stand to benefit from this? I mean, I'm thinking a guy like Mark Pope. I'm thinking a guy like, we could see Will Mallory use this.
I was just about to say his name. I think it could benefit Brevin Jordan as well.
Yeah.
Guys that have struggled with injuries.
Devon Donaldson does not have to redshirt anymore.
absolutely. Navon Donaldson, you know, Corey Gaynor, you know, all those guys. I think guys that have struggled with injuries or maybe who have not seen enough playing time to really make a name for themselves. I think there's a few juniors that can definitely benefit. Maybe a guy like DJ Ivy. So it's such a broad thing. Because it affects everyone, and maybe Brevin Jordan does come back for another season, you know?
You know what I just thought about? Why don't we get Scott Patchen back here to play two more years? Scott Patchen will have played from like 2011. College
at 29 years old.
Dude, Scott Patchen's an Al Golden guy, and we could have him for two more seasons. Why aren't we doing this?
That's insane.
Scott, if you're listening to this, come on back, my friend.
Come on.
Our fourth spot is wide open, and we need you. We could use you another 2 years here at Miami.
It just makes me wish Greg Rousseau was coming back.
Yeah.
I'm just after talking with Ryan last week. I'm pretty confident he's going to be a top 10 pick. He just had great things to say about Greg. So that made me feel a lot better, just because his case is a lot different from guys like a Trajan Bandy or Joe Jackson, Jonathan Garvin, who left early. But those guys go and, you know, some are drafted in the seventh round, some go undrafted. And Greg Rousseau, it's just good to see that trend will not be followed with him.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I definitely think Greg will be a top 10 pick as well. So I was thinking, what about a guy like Zion Nelson? How much could he benefit from this? Yeah,
that's a very, very good point, especially with the way his freshman year was played out. I got high hopes for Zion Nelson, man. I really, really do. I think he can develop into a very solid offensive lineman for the next few years at Miami.
And think about this. I mean, I'm sure we could toy with these scenarios all day. And this is the kind of sports geek that I am. You know, I love toying with the what ifs and the scenarios like this. But so let's say we get De'Aaron King for 2 years. That means that we, like, Tyler Van Dyke can play as much as he wants this year, and he could redshirt next season behind De'Aaron King, and then still have 4 years of eligibility after that.
Wow.
He'd be eligible for the pros after his freshman year.
You're diving into scenarios I haven't even thought about.
Yeah, so, I mean, we could have Tyler Van Dyke. We could have De'Aaron King for 2 years and then 4 years of Tyler Van Dyke, and that is 21-year-old Tyler Van Dyke as a freshman.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. And on a recruiting note, I will just say, I don't want to get into it too much, but Jay Garcia's Instagram story, his dad was rocking a Miami shirt.
What?
I'm just saying.
I love it.
And there was more smoke about that situation over the weekend. I don't know if you heard. But there was some smoke. Did you see what the USC 247 had to say about that?
I did see that. So they sound pretty pessimistic on the Jake Garcia front.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it right now. Okay, so this is from the USC account. It said, now that USC quarterback commit Jake Garcia has moved to Valdosta and closer to Miami, we might need to provide weekly updates on his status moving forward. Garcia was quick to state that he's locked in with USC and the move doesn't change his plans to enroll in January. But this week we were told by two independent sources that the flip is in for Garcia to Miami. One of these sources did give a little wiggle room. This source's intel came from the Miami side of things, and they believe Garcia is ready to make the move. This is far from definitive, but it's certainly not encouraging. It's very – I mean, so that's what he said. I will say it's very encouraging for Miami fans.
Yes. Sounds great to me.
I mean, yeah.
we could go 5 years in a row having Tyler Van Dyke and Jake Garcia on the roster.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
It sounds absolutely incredible. With Jang, just give me 2 to 3 years of Rhett Lashley. Just please, please.
So here's another what if. Would you rather have a two deep of Tyler Van Dyke and Jake Garcia or Ja'Cory Harris and Gray Crow?
Tyler Van Dyke and Jake Garcia, thank you very much.
Oh, me too, man.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the first one, Your Honor.
Yeah, so, I'm very excited about this. Wait, hold on. What if I throw in Mark Whipple?
You know what? Crazy as it sounds, I'm still going with TVD and Garcia.
Okay. Okay, well then that means things are good, right?
Things are great. Cool. Things are wonderful. I am very, you know, it seems like the steam, it's picking up steam, this Garcia movement once again, and it definitely helps that he has moved to Georgia. So we'll see what's going on, man.
Yeah, should be exciting, but I'm feeling good about it. I've maintained this entire time that I felt good about it. Hopefully I don't look like an idiot, but keep doing your thing, man. You're our lead recruiter there, so keep it rolling.
Yeah, I tweeted out the hashtag on Friday night. I was sucked back in.
Yeah.
And well, so things are going well, man. And
there's worse ways to get sucked, Marsh.
There's what a great note to end the show on. There's worse ways to get sucked. Okay, is there anything else we got to go over?
Nope.
All right. Okay, so we will be back maybe Wednesday when I get back to Utah. How does that sound?
Sounds maybe Thursday.
Maybe Thursday. Okay, we'll do that.
We'll figure it out.
Right. We always do. Okay. All right, guys, we are getting closer and closer to football. We cannot wait. We're going to be pumping out, you know, new shows and more shows. So until then, until Wednesday or Thursday, go Canes, baby.
Go Canes.
This has been the Forza Podcast. Remember to like.